Today she is Masechta Megillah Daf Tes, and we will begin on Daf Tes Amar Aleph, four lines from the top, Mosvav Ud Shmuel. In the previous year, we had learned a Machloikus Rav Huna of Adabar Hava. If the Mitzui, which as we described in the previous year, the procedure for a Karban Chatas Haif is first Malika is done, after Malika is done, Hazah is done, and after Hazah is done, Mitzui is done. Mitzui, as we explain, means that they take the bird, they squeeze it against the wall of the Mizbeach, and whatever blood is left in it drains out. We had a machlokes of Huna of Adabar Hava, if the Mitzui is ma'akev, if the Mitzui is essential or not. Rav Huna's opinion was that it is not. Rav Adabar Hava's opinion was that it is. Mosvavu de Shmuel l'Rav Huna. Asks Avud Shmuel to Rav Huna. It says in the Mishnah, Echad Chatas Oif, Vechad Oil Soif, both the Chatas Oif and the Oil Soif, Shemolka Umitzadomam, that both that had Malika and Mitzadomam, and you did those acts, Chutz L'Makaimam, with a Machshava of Chutz L'Makaimam, the carbon is possible. However, if aimed by Karis, there is no Chiv Karis if one were to eat from this carbon. However, Chutz L'Zmanon, if these acts were done with a machshav of chutz l'zmanon, paskins the Mishnah, and mesech the zvachim, pigol, v'chayov and ala karis. The carbon will become pigol, and there's a chiyiv karis. K'tonimiya. But what has this Mishnah taught us? Mitzah damin. That the mitzu is so important, that if there's a machshavis pigol during that mitzui, the halacha is that the carbon becomes possible. So how could you, Rav Huna, say, ask the Gemara that the mitzui is not essential, says the Gemara. Who moisav lava, who mefarik lava? He was the one that asked the question, and he's the one that responds. Let's start him, Ketani. The Mishnah that says, in Masechta Zvachim, the mitzui is so very essential, that if there's a machsheves pigel during the mitzui, the carbon becomes pigel, is talking about oil saif. For, although, as we said at the beginning of our shir today, by a chatas oif, the mitzui is done after the hazor, and therefore one can argue that the mitzui is not absolutely essential. By the oilas oif, there is no hazor, there's only mitzui. And in fact, the freshmen go on to say that the mitzui is even not done the same way. Because as we said, the mitzui of the chatas oif is by pressing the bird against the wall of the mizbeach. The mitzui on an oilas oif is by pressing the neck of the animal, or the neck of the bird, and the blood spurts out. There, since there's no hazah, certainly everybody agrees that the mitzui is essential. So when we just quoted a Mishnah, Masechta Zvachim, that says that if there was a machsheves pigel during the mitzui, the carbon becomes possible, it's talking about a carbon oilas oif. That is, by oilas oif, there is no disagreement. I saw the Mefarshim asked the Gemara could have said a different teretz. We learned, and we're going to review in a moment, the opinion of Tanda Rebbe Shmuel in yesterday's shir, that said that since the pasuk says, v'anishim and adam barachatas oif, he said, pshat the pasuk is, v'im nishim and adam, if there's blood left over, that blood should be used for mitzui, but it's not essential. So why couldn't the Gemara just say that there's a machlokes between this Mishnah and Rabbi Shmuel? Rabbi Shmuel's a Tani, he's a lot of arguing in Mishnah. So Mefarshim answer, of course we could have given that teretz, but the Gemara is trying to give a teretz that doesn't involve making a machlokes, particularly since that Mishnah that we just read in Masechta Zvachim is a Stam Mishnah. We don't usually like to say that a Stam Mishnah is actually the subject of a machlokes. Then I saw another question. The halacha is that the last parts of the shechita are not absolutely essential. But yet the halacha is, if during those last parts of the shechita, which don't validate or invalidate a shechita, a kohen had a machsheves pigel, a carbon will be pigel. So we see from there, asked the Mefarshim, that even during a act which is not essential, a carbon could become pigel. So why is this Mishnah so difficult? It could be the mitzvah is not essential, but still it could become pigel. Answer the Mefarshim, it's not a good comparison. Because shechita is absolutely essential. Maybe part of the shechita is not that essential, but shechita in general is essential. So since shechita is in general essential, even during the non-essential parts of the shechita, a karmic can become pigel. But if we're learning the mitzui is not essential, then during no part of the mitzui should the karmic be able to become pigel. Yet the Mishnah there says it does, and the Gemara answered. Gufa, says the Gemara, we learned in the previous year, Tana de Beri Shmo, Shanisha Badam, that the Pasuk only means to say that if there's blood left over, do mitzui. Ask the Gemara, Vatana de Beri Shmo, there's another Gemara, Masech de Zvachim, that says that there's a machloikus there, how to, machloikus Rabbi Shmo and Rabbi Kiva, how to learn a Kal V'Chomer, and the Gemara says that what is the repercussion of that machloikus, about Shur Ma'akim, if pouring the Shirayim down the Yisoid is an essential Avodah, and that is the subject of a dispute between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. Ram Rapapa and Rapapa explained that the Nafkamina between the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva is Mitzvah Chatas Oif Ikmanayu, if you have to do Mitzvah by Chatas Oif. So ask the Gemara, how can we say that Rabbi Shmuel is the Mandomim that says Mitzui by Chatas Oif is not essential, where there we see Rabbi Shmuel holds it is essential? Answers the Gemara, Trei Tanoim Valiv Rabbi Shmuel. Does Machloikas Tanoim what Rabbi Shmuel holds? Continues the Mishnah. And as we said in the previous year, our Mishnah, as a continuation of the previous Mishnah, discusses various Kabbanas and the various Halachas of Me'ilah and other Halachas, carbon by carbon. Many times the Torah requires an oilas oif to be brought, as we said yesterday, different averis, carbon oil v'yoyrid, azov, yeledis, a mitzayra, have to bring an oilas oif. One can also donate an oilas oif. So the halach is oilas oif ma'alam ba mishog disha. As soon as one designates the oif as a carbon, it becomes subject to me'ila. Nimlaka, as soon as the malika takes place, hukshura, it becomes to the degree, the apostle, the tefil yoyim and b'chusuk purim, as we learned in the previous year, that if a tefil yoyim and b'chusuk purim touch it, it becomes apostle, or belina. We said two pshatim and lina as well yesterday. One is that the dam, if it's left past shkia, can no longer be used for the hazor, for the mitzui. Another pshat is that the basar, if after night, becomes disqualified. Mitzah dama, once the mitzui takes place, chayavon la mishum pigel, for as we've learned many times, there's only a chiyah pigel after all of the avoidus of the carbon have taken place. By regular carbon, it's shchit the kabbalah, iloch zrika, by carbon oil soif, the malika, and the mitzui dam. And as we're going to learn in tomorrow's shir, nois of a tamei. Just like pigel only becomes, there's only a chiyah karis for eating carbon that's pigel after the mitzui, so too the isser of eating it past its time of noiser, and the isser of a tamei eating it also carries with it a chiv karis, are only after the mitzui. The Mefarshim ask that why doesn't the Mishnah also say that after the malika there's an isser yotzi, we discussed the other day, that after the malika, if the meat is taken outside of the azor, it becomes disqualified. So Mefarshim answer, because as we've learned in the previous parak on Davov, the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, that Zrika Ma'elis L'yotze, that even if the meat was taken out, the Zrika, the Hazor, will take it out of the category of Me'ila. So that's why the Mishnah doesn't speak about Yotze. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, Omei Alambab, it remains subject to Hilchus Me'ila, Achitates the base adeshin until it's taken out to the base adeshin. What this means, we'll see immediately the first piece of the Gemara after the Mishnah. Paraman Nisrafim v'Sirim Nisrafim. So Paraman Nisrafim means Karbonais, the par helm dovish or tzibur. If the tzibur does something wrong based on an erroneous psak from Bezdin, or if another power on the Srafim is the power of the Kohen Gadol that he brings on behalf of himself and his fellow Kohanim on Yom Kippur, that those are parim that are completely burnt. The seir on the srafim, again, there are two cases. One is the seir avodah zarah, that if the tzibur worships avodah zarah improperly based on an erroneous psak of Beis Din. Or another case of Sirim and Asrafim is if the Kohen HaMashiach, the Kohen Gadol, does an Aveira, for which everyone else brings a Karban Chatos, he brings a Sawyer. Again, says the Mishnah, May Alam B'Mishim Hugdashu, they become subject to Hilchos Milah from when they're designated as Hegdash, Nishchatu, as soon as they're slaughtered, Hukshuru Li possible Tful Yom Chusik Purim. They become possible that Tful Yom Chusik Purim touch them. And here the Rishonim ask a question. Let's think about it. These karbonos, the parim ha'nisrafim, the seirim ha'nisrafim, are burnt anyway. They're not eaten. So there is no concern that if they were touched by such an individual, they should become disqualified from being eaten. They may not be eaten anyway. On the other hand, as the Mefarshim will say that since they're tamei, the halacha ought to be that they can't be offered. That isn't true. Because the parim ha'nisrafim are karbonos tzibur, and the halach is tuma hutra b'tzibur. Then when a carbon is brought b'tuma by tzibur, it can be brought. So what is pshat, asked Rishonim, when the Mishnah says hukshurli possible, they become possible by being touched by these individuals? So Tosfos answers, the halach is that the parim ha'nisrafim indeed must be burnt, but they're burnt in different places if they're a kosher carbon or a not kosher carbon. And given that these karbonos are not kosher, that's why they should be burnt in the place where the not kosher parim misrafim are burnt. There's a question furthermore in the Mefarshim. It's obvious that it is the opinion of Tosfos that tuma dechui betzibur, there's a machloikis throughout Shas, tuma hutra betzibur, or tuma dechui betzibur, if a tzibur brings a carbon betuma, is it hutra dechuya? Clearly, Tosfos holds it's the chuya. It's only b'dievet should be done. And the question is, if lechatchila for parah and esrafim that we're discussing now got disqualified, is it better to bring another carbon, or is pshat leave that carbon just instead of burning it where they're normally burnt in the place, burnt in a different place? Furthermore, I saw a very interesting opinion that if, as we're learning now, tchuma d'chuy b'tzibur, it's not lechatchila. So the halach is you're only allowed to burn on them, do what's absolutely necessary. So the carbon tzibur becomes tamei, we're allowed to do the zrika, because tuma dechui betzibur, but we may not do the haktaris emrim, because since the haktaris emrim are not absolutely essential to the avoid of a carbon, tuma dechui betzibur and don't do it. Says the Mishnah further, Parim and Asrafim, Sirin and Asrafim, my alam by Meshogdisha, the subject to Mila from when you magdish it, magdishtem nishch to hukshur, the possible to yom b'chusuk purim, ubalina, who's a domim, after the hazar, chayavan alayim, mishum pigal naisvatami, because all of the avoid has been completed. And when all of the avoid is completed, that's when the subject to pigal naisvatami, umahalam bebebeis adeshin, and they remain subject to Mila, achiyata chabasar, until they are burned. Mefarshim explain, because Achiyata Chabosar, they're considered Kotche Hashem, and as long as they're in the category of Kotche Hashem, they remain subject to Mila. I saw as a machlaikas what exactly is the definition of the word Yata Chabosar. Doesn't mean that they turn into ash, or does it have to be completely burnt, that there's nothing left over, then and only then are they no longer subject to Mila. Hay Oila, a regular carbon behema, my alamba becomes subject to Mila, Meshogdisha, from when you magdish that behema. Nishchata, after it's slaughtered, hukshurli possible to yom b'chusuk purim belina. Meshenizrik dama, after the zrikas adam, chayovna la meshempigal nois v'tamei. Ve'ein my alamba iris, there is no mi'ila in the ar. So, my alamba basa. So, poshapshat, as we've learned many times. A carbon is subject to Mila, kachay kachim, until the meat may be eaten by the Kohanim. Once the meat may be eaten by the Kohanim, that meat is no longer Kachi Hashem. And since that meat is no longer Kachi Hashem, there is no din of Me'ilah. And therefore, it's very understandable by carbon oiler. The basar we know of a carbon oiler may not be eaten. So since the basar of a carbon oiler may not be eaten, Therefore, we can very well understand that the halacha is that it's still subject to milah. The or, on the other hand, which is given to the kahanim, is therefore not kachi Hashem and not subject to milah. However, what I did see is the machloikus rishonim is what does that mean? Does that mean that from does that mean the or after the zrika is no longer subject to milah? That's pashut pshat in the Mishnah. But I did see that there are rishonim that suggest that the or, the skin, is never subject to milah even before the zrika. It's never something that's considered subject to milah. Amma'al mebasar, and the basar remains subject to milah, achetetz lebeis adeshen, as we discussed, and we'll discuss in the Gemara immediately. Chatas ha'osham v'sivche shalmet tzibur, which are all karbonis which are kachim, my alam b'mishugdishu, they become subject to milah from when you magdish them. Nishchatu, after the slaughter, hukshel apostle, but for yoyim b'chusser, kiparim b'lina. Nizrik damam, once you have zrikas adam, chayavim l'mishem pigal nisa v'tamei. Eima alam b'basar, but after the zrika, since that basar is eaten by the kahanim, as we just explained, therefore they're no longer considered kotche Hashem, and therefore they are no longer subject to milah. But alam b'mereim, the emurim, which are put on the Mizbeach, remain kachay Hashem, and therefore are subject to me'ilah, achiyetz l'beis adashem. Shtei alechem. On Shavuos, they brought the kifse atzeres, and accompanying the kifse atzeres was shtei alechem. So says the Mishnah, the shtei alechem me'alam b'mishogdashu. They become subject to me'ilah from when you magdish them. Karmu b'taner, once they are baked in the oven, hukshru l'pasal b'tfoyoyim u'b'chusu kipurim. They become subject to Tfilyoim and Mechusa Kippurim. Machlaikis Rishonim. We're going to learn in a moment about the Lechem Aponim, that there everybody agrees that it's not considered Karmu B'taner until they're actually baked on both sides. The question here is the same din by Shtei Alechem, that it's not considered Karmu B'taner until both sides are baked? Or is it considered karmu b'taner even when one side is baked? So Taisus asks a question. Taisus asks that our Mishnah just said, only after they're put into the oven are they subject to, only after they're baked, karmu, after they're crusted, they're subject to these halachas. Ask Taisus, the taner is a klisharis. And the halacha is that a kli sharis is mekadesh, whatever is put into it. And therefore, why does it have to get baked, get the crust? As soon as it's put into the tanner, they should be subject to these halachas. So Taisus says that no, it's only a kli sharis until it's baked, once it's baked. So the words of Taisus are difficult to understand. So the Migdash David says, beautiful pshat in Taisus. The Migdash David says there are two types of kedusha that descend on an item that's put into a klisharis. One is because it's put into a klisharis, and the klisharis has the ability to be makadishit. That's one category. But then there's another category. It's not that the klisharis has that type of kedusha, that it's magdish whatever comes into it. It's because the klisharis accomplishes something. Once it accomplishes something, that brings to it a kedusha. He says the oven that was used to bake the Shtei Lechem is not the type of klisharis that's mekadesh whatever comes into it. It's the type of klisharis that's mekadesh because it accomplishes something baking. And he says a beautiful raya. He says there's a very famous Gemara. The Gemara says that which family, I think it's Gemara Masechet Yuma, which family was the family that were expert in baking these breads? The family of Beis Garmu. But they knew they were experts and they took a very big salary for doing that job. They took a high salary for doing that job. So what happened was, they wanted to get cheaper labor. So they brought bakers from Egypt. And the Gemara says that there was a difference between the way the bakers from Egypt baked the bread and the bakers from Beis Garmu baked the bread. The bakers from Egypt put the dough on the outside of the oven. The bakers from Beis Garmu put it inside the oven. And the Gemara says that the bread wasn't as good, and ultimately they had to come back to the Beis Garmu. But the point is, we see that they were baked on the outside of the oven. If the tan is the regular type of klisharis, says the Migdash David, that's only Mekadosh by putting it inside, how could you bake on the outside of the oven? Says the Migdash David. From here we see that it's not a regular klisharis that's Mekadosh by putting something into it. It's only a klisharis because it's used for baking, but it has to accomplish the baking to be Mekadosh the lechem. Furthermore, ubelina. So there's a machlokes, obviously we see the word belina is in parentheses. So most Rishonim say, there is no isalina on the lechem upon him, on the shtei lechem, because the Gemara says that the shtei lechem, which I said a moment ago, was brought on Shavuos, they didn't bake on Shavuos. And sometimes they didn't even bake on an Erev Shavuos, because if Shabbos was Erev Shavuos, they would bake it 2 days before Shavuos. So it was always subject to lina. It always was left over before. And therefore, the word lina is put into parentheses. The gersa that has lina is because it's actually the subject of machloikis when the shtei lechem was baked. This opinion that I just cited says that the shtei lechem was baked before yontif. But there is another opinion because of the concern of lina that says you can bake the shtei lechem on yontif. If you can bake it on yontif, so that it could be subject to lina. After the shtei lechem are baked that much, you could bring the kifsei atzeres. Nizrak damim shel kvasim. Once the dam of the kvasim is spritzed, chayom alem shem pigel nois v'tamei v'em b'me'ila. So it's very interesting that I saw that the Rishonim say, if somebody had, and Mishnah bears this out, if somebody had a mechsheves pigel on the kifsei atzeres, not only will the kifsei atzeres be pigel, but even the shtei alechem will be. But let's say somebody had a machsheves pigel in the shtei alechem, only the shtei alechem will be pigel. It won't have the ability to make the kifsei atzeres also pigel. Continues the Mishnah. Lechem upon him. We know that the lechem upon him was changed every Shabbos. Every Shabbos they put on new lechem upon him, took out the old lechem upon him. Mayalim b'mishnim hokdashu. As soon as you magdish it, they become subject to mila. Karim b'taner, and here everybody agrees that the lechem upon him doesn't become kaddish until both sides are crusted. Huchshir, be possible tefil yom chusik kippurim, ulesader al gabay shulchan. So it's very interesting. In our Mishnah, lina is not mentioned at all by the lechem upon him. And the reason, posh b'shat is, because the lechem upon him is baked before Shabbos. But it's only put on the shulchan on Shabbos. So it's always subject to lina. It must be that there is no din of lina by lechem upon him. However, there are rishonim that have the gears of lina by lechem upon him as well. Why? Because there's an interesting machloikas rishonim. As I said a moment ago, they used to change the lechem upon him every Shabbos. Took out the old lechem upon him and put in the new lechem upon him. And the old lechem upon him were distributed to the old mishmer, to the new mishmer. There's a question by when must the lechem upon him be eaten. There's one opinion that says that the lechem upon him has to be eaten b'yoyim v'layla, by Sunday morning. There's another opinion that says, no, the lechem upon him can be eaten all week. So if we say that the lechem upon him must be eaten up no later than Sunday morning, so then the word lina applies by lechem upon him, you have to eat it up by Sunday morning. And actually, I saw that the Paiskim say that this question has relevance la'loch l'maisa even b'zman hazeh. The Ramah paskins that even though, of course, we may not eat on Yom Kippur, one is allowed to touch food on Yom Kippur. There are paskim that disagree with the Ramah. And what is their basis? They say, because even though we just said that the lechem upon him was distributed every Shabbos, what is the aloch if Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos? They didn't distribute the food, the lechem upon him until Matzoi Shabbos. Why? It's a raya that you're not allowed to touch food on Yom Kippur, and that's why they didn't distribute it until, they didn't give it to the Kohanim until Matzoi Shabbos. Say the Paiskim. The Har Tzvi says this. If we're going to say the lechem upon him can be eaten all week, so it's a gevaldig raya that somebody who's not allowed to eat food should not touch food on Yom Kippur. But if we're going to say that the lechem upon him has a time frame, it has to be eaten up no later than Sunday morning. And more than that, the Mefarshim say, every carbon that's man is yoyim v'layla, really should be eaten by yoyim. Layla is only like an extension. So there, the Kohanim have a pressure. That's why I don't give them the lechem upon them. Other food that there is no pressure specifically to eat today, you could give. That's why the Rama said correctly, the Rama holds that the lechem upon him is not a raya, because the lechem upon him has a sman by which it has to be eaten up. All other food doesn't. And that's why the Rama and the Mishnah Berurah, the Paskins like the Rama, says you could touch food on Yom Kippur. We know that on top of both rows of the lechem upon him, there were spoons with levaina that were burnt on Shabbos. Paskins, the Mishnah, karva bezichin. Once those bezichim are burnt, chayavim l'mishim pigel nois v'tameh, the lechem upon him becomes subject to pigel nois v'tameh, but they're no longer subject to mila. Hamenachis, the karva mincha. And there's a machloikis rishonim, what does the Mishnah mean here when it speaks about a karva mincha? Does the Mishnah mean specifically minchas tzibur, or does the Mishnah mean even minchas yochid? Me'alim b'mishah hugdishu. From when you magdish them, they become kaddish, and the subject to Hilchas Mila. But it's very interesting. The Rishonim say as follows. We kept on speaking in our Mishnah many times, different kabbonis, animal kabbonis, that the Mishnah kept on saying that as soon as that animal is designated as a carbon, the halacha is it's subject to Mila. As soon as it's designated as a carbon, it's subject to Mila. The halacha, say the Mefarshim, is that it has Kedushas Haguf. A carbon mincha, explained the says the Mefarshim, there's a correspondence between Chaskel Abramsky and the Brisker Rav about this issue, does not have Kedushas Haguf. It only has Kedushas Tamim when you magdish the ingredients. That means, a carbon, as soon as you magdish the animal, it gets a Kedushas Haguf. The carbon mincha does not get Kedushas Haguf when you magdish the ingredients. So the Pashup Shat, it's very simple. An animal, as soon as you magdish it, you could shecht it. So that's why it should be subject to Kedushas Haguf. A mincha, just because you designated the ingredients, it's not enough. You have to mix the ingredients. You have to put them into Kli Sharis, and that's why it doesn't get a Kedushas Haguf until you've done that. Others say there are different categories of Kedushas Haguf. The Brisker Rav wants to say, and the Kedushas Haguf of an animal is different than the Kedushas Haguf of a carbon mincha. So again, Hamenachas me'alim b'mishu hugdishu, kitshu b'keili, once they put those ingredients, are put into klisheris, hukshu l'possible tefil yoyim b'chusik purim b'alina, karva kaimitz, we know that by all karva mincha, the kaimitz is burnt on the mizbeach, so as soon as the kaimitz is burnt, the halacha is, so that means all of the avoid of the karva mincha is done. As we always say, there are four avoid, it's not us, the Gemara says it many times, Masechta Menachos. There are four avoiders by Behema, Shechita, Kabbalah, Eloch, Zerika. There are four corresponding avoiders by Karban Mincha. Kaimitz, putting the Kaimitz in the Keli, taking the Keli to the Mizbeach and Akhtara, burning the car. Once all of those four avoiders are done, Chayov of the Chayiv, Mishapigal, Nois, Vatameh, Vein, Ba'alam, B'Shraim. The Shraim, which in most Karban Minchas, at least the Karban Mincha we're discussing this Mishnah, we'll speak about different Karban Minchas in tomorrow's Shir. But in these Karban Minchas, the Shirayim are eaten. So since they're eaten by the Kohanim, they're not Kach Hashem, and they're not subject to Mila. And Me'alim B'Kaimitz, the Kaimitz, which is burnt on the Mizbeach, remains subject to Mila, Ach Yotzel Beis Hadeshin, until it goes out to the Beis Hadeshin. So one of the things, one of the concepts that our Mishnah kept on referring to, as recently as this moment, is Ach Yetzel Beis Hadeshin. So we need to review the process. Many things are put on the Mizbeach to be burnt, obviously. And what happened is the first avoida every morning is Trumas Hadeshin, where the Kayin took some Deshin off the Mizbeach, put it on the east side of the Mizbeach, and that's where it remained. That's called Trumas Hadeshin. There's a different avoida altogether called Hoytzos Hadeshin, that the ash that accumulated on the Mizbeach was taken mechutz l'machna. Machloikis Rishonim, if that, the Trumas Hadeshin was certainly done every day. Does Machloikis Rishonim, if the Hoytzos Hadeshin was done every day, or it was done only when it accumulated? So begins the Gemara. Itma, Hanenim Eifet Tepuach Shagav Mizbeach. If somebody has a nor from that ash that accumulated on the Mizbeach, so we have a machloikis. Rava me'ame alamboy, it's not subject to Mila. Rav Yoichan me'alamboy, it is subject to Mila. Says the Gemara, Lifnei Trumas Adeshin, before the Trumas Adeshin was done, Kul Amalei Pligin Demei Alma, everybody agrees that it's subject to Mila. That since you have to do the Trumas Adeshin, so until the Trumas Adeshin is accomplished, that ash is subject to Mila. Keep Ligi, where do we have the Machloikas of Rav and Rabbi Yochanan? Lacha Trumas Adeshin. After the Trumas Adeshin was done, and you have that ash on the Mizbeach. Rav Ma'ema Alma, the only mitzvah that needs to be done is the Trumas Adeshin. Once the Trumas Adeshin is done, that ash is no longer subject to Mila. Rabbi Yochanan says, Kivin Diksiv, since we find that the Torah Akdoshah says, regarding the Haitzah Adeshin, the Lovash Akoy Midebat, that you have to wear the Big Day Kahuna for doing that Tzah Adeshin, Kivin the Tzorach Le Big Day Kahuna, since the Torah says that the Big Day Kahuna should be worn for the Haitzah Adeshin, it's a raya, b'kedushah seikai, that it still has its kedusha, and therefore it's still subject to Mila. So the simplest way of explaining the machlokes of Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, I saw some of Farshim suggest, is actually the machlokes Rishayim that we just quoted. According to Rav, the Haitzah Adeshin didn't have to be done every day. The fact that it didn't have to be done every day is clearly a raya that it's not an essential mitzvah, because why don't you, the fact is you don't have to do it every day. Rabbi Yochanan otherwise will hold that you have to do it every day. It's a raya, it's a mitzvah. But we need to understand Rav's opinion. Rav is saying it's not a mitzvah. But on the other hand, we see that the Torah Akdoshah clearly says that the kohen has to wear the Big Day Kahuna. So isn't that a raya that it is a mitzvah? So Mefarshim answer, the Gemara that speaks about this halacha says that there's one opinion that the kohen didn't wear four Big Day Kahuna. He only wore two Big Day Kahuna when he did a Tzah Sedashin. Everybody agrees that he wore lesser quality Big Day Kahuna, but a Tzah Sedashin. So Rav says all of those facts point to the fact that it's not a real mitzvah. Rav Yochanan says, still, the fact is you have to wear it, Big Day Kahuna. Maybe less quality or quantity, but you have to wear Big Day Kahuna. Clearly it's right that it's a mitzvah. The Machroinim debate that according to Rav Yochanan, that Haitzah Sedashin is a mitzvah, and until that Haitzah Sedashin is done, the afer, the ash, is subject to Mila. What does that mean? Doesn't mean as soon as the ash is removed from the Mizbeach, even he will agree that it's no longer subject to Mila, or will Rabbi Yochanan require that it be taken to the outside, and then, and only then, is it no longer subject to Mila. Tanan asked the Gemara, it says in the Mishnah, Mayalam ben achetetz lebeis adeshin, does kash l'rav, doesn't it say here clearly that until they're actually taken out, they're subject to Mila? Rav says after the Trumas Adeshin, the ash is no longer subject to Mila. Kash l'rav, isn't this a difficulty on Rav's opinion? Answers the Gemara, Amalek Rav, what this Mishnah means, says Rav, achetetz lebeis adeshin, doesn't mean that's actually taken. But rather, as soon as the Trumas Adeshin was done, and if the Trumas Adeshin is done, then the rest of the ash can be taken out. That's enough that it should no longer be subject to Me'ilah. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, it says in the Mishnah, in Masech Tzvachim, the Kulin Shepokim Megabim Mizbeach. The Mishnah there speaks about different parts of a carbon that don't have to be put on the Mizbeach, but were put. That the halacha is, as we've learned many times, im olu lo yerdu. If they were put on, they need not be removed. Furthermore, as Rashi, most Rishonim explain this Gemara, it also is speaking about pieces of wood that are on the Mizbeach. Says the Mishnah that all of these things, the kulin shepokim al gabim Mizbeach, if they flew off the Mizbeach, lo yachsu. They don't need to be put back, these organs. V'keng gacheles shepok al megabim mizbeach. The same thing about a piece of wood, a coal from a piece of wood that's on the mizbeach and it flew off, lo yachse, it need not be returned. But what is the diik, makes the Gemara? Hagabi ya mizbeach, that if it's still on the mizbeach, it should be put back to the fire. So says the Gemara, Bishlam and Rabbi Yochanan Nichol, it's very understandable. Because Rabbi Yochanan holds that until it's actually consumed, it's subject to Mila. And therefore, you have to make sure that you get burnt. El Rav, the Rav holds that there's no din of Trumas Hadeshin on this. And if there's no din of Trumas Hadeshin on this, there's no Mila on this. So why is there a din of Yachzer? Why do I have to be careful that it should remain properly on the Mizbeach if it didn't fly off the Mizbeach? Answers the Gemara. Amlok Rav. Shani Gachel Stisbeh Mashasha. When did Rav say that after Trumas Hadeshin, there is no Mila? He was speaking about ash. Ash is meaningless. But he was speaking about a coal that has much more substance to it. Since it has much more substance to it, Rav will agree that it's subject to Me'ilah unless it's no longer on the Mizbeach. Says the Gemara, Ikadam Loha Agisa. But there's a different version of this discussion, and this the version of this discussion is according a question on Rav Yochanan, not on Rav. It seems, says the Gemara, Tamashim de Gachelis Disbe Meshasha. Only when we speak about a coal need we be concerned. Ha Efer, where are we speaking about ash? Afilo de Lesbe Meshasha, that doesn't have, Ha Efer de Lesbe Meshasha, when we speak about ash that doesn't have any substance, Afilo Gab Mizbeach, even it's on the Mizbeach, and my Alba, it's not subject to Mila. So says the Gemara, Bishlam L'Rav, that says that the ash indeed is not subject to Mila, it's very understandable. Nicha. El Rabbi Yochanan says that even the ash remains subject to Mila. Kasha, because Rabbi Yochanan says that ash is subject. Here it seems that only the Gechelis, the coal, is not subject to Mila, but not the ash. Answers the Gemara. Amlach Rabbi Yochanan, hu adin dafil eifer. This is the din even regarding the ash. Behind the Tanig Gechelis, why did the Brises speak about the Gechelis? Kasla Shminin, because he wants to tell us a chiddush. Gechelis dafil isbe mishasha. When you speak about a coal that has substance, so we think that since it's so significant, kipokim agab mizbeach, if it flies off the mizbeach, I should have to put it on. Teaches us the Mishnah Chiddush, the loyach, you need not put it back on if it flew completely off. But avada, it, when it's still on the mizbeach, and the afer, the halach is that it's subject to mila. I saw a beautiful vart from the Pnei Menachem. He says, we know that Avraham Avinu tikkun tefillas shachris, Yitzchak tikkun tefillas marav, mincha, and Yaakov tikkun tefillas marav. Shachris is for the tamid shel shachar, mincha is for the tamid shel ben abayim, and marav is for the ketoris that's on the mizbeach. Says the Pnei Menachem, that was burnt all night. Says the Pnei Menachem, what does Yaakov represent? Yaakov was the first person that went to Galus. Yaakov represents that Jews, even in all of their situations, remain connected to Hashem. And therefore, just like the Mizbeach, all these things that put on the Mizbeach that don't really belong in the Mizbeach, the halacha is im olu lo yardu, they still remain kadosh. The same thing, a Jew, what does Meir represent? That even at night, in the night of Golus, in the night of our perhaps getting disconnected from Hashem, in olu lo yerdu, we remain connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Itmar. Says the Gemara, Hananah Mebasa Kachim, if somebody has Hanah from meat that's Kachim Kachim, Lifnei Zrikas Damim, before the Zrikas Adam, where, as we've learned many times, Kachim Kachim remains a subject to Me'ila until, the Basa Kachim Kachim are subject to Me'ila until the Zrikas Adam, or Muri Kachikalim that we learned are subject to Mila Achaz Rikas Tamim. Rav Omar, Mashinenu, whatever Hanah you did, had from them, whatever the value of your Hanah is Yiplu Nadova. You should buy with that, you should evaluate that money, that Hanah, come up with a Karen V'chaymish, and that's the amount that should be given for Nidvah Ketz Mizbeach. We know that whenever the Mizbeach wasn't in use, they used to bring carbon oilless ketz and mizbeach, and that's what that money, that keren v'chaymish, should be used for. Because, let's think about it. You can't bring another carbon. Let's say it's a chatas ashim. You can't bring another carbon, because you already brought your carbon. But you had that, no? You have the keren v'chaymish. So what should we do with that keren v'chaymish? It should be brought to oilless ketz and mizbeach. V'levi oimer, yoveh dovish shekul mizbeach. He says, no, the oilless ketz and mizbeach is not completely used for the Ketz Mizbeach, the Kahanim get the R. So what should be used? It should be used to bring Ketoris, which goes completely to the Mizbeach. The Mefarshim make two important points. One is, it doesn't mean specifically Torahs. The point is, it's something that's completely to the Mizbeach that nobody gets any shear of. That's one point I saw. Another point is that we know, we discussed this previously, that the Torahs has to come from the Tzibur. So if I, Chas V'Shalom, not I, if someone was Mayel, and he owes this money, and the Gemara is saying that he should use it for Torahs, so the Torahs is coming from private individual. The Torahs did not come from private individual. So we shine him say what he has to do is before he gives it for the Torahs, he has to be Maisra the Tzibur, give it over completely to the Tzibur, that it becomes the property of the Tzibur. Tanya. Kavasei de Levi. Milazu. What is done with this Mila? Halameidim lefnei chachamim. And the Rishonim say that normally when we have this wording in Shas, halameidim lefnei chachamim, it means Levi. Here, it can't mean Levi for two reasons. Because it is Levi that we're talking about. So we're not bringing a raya from Levi to Levi. We're bringing a raya from someone else to Levi. Furthermore, the Rishonim said we don't find Levi cited in a brisa. Levi was an Amora. And here we're saying, Tanya Kavosei de Levi, so it can't mean Levi. The first pshat, the Mepharshim say, that it doesn't mean Levi alone, it means Levi and his colleagues. So it doesn't mean Levi alone, it means Levi and his colleagues, and therefore it's not a problem. The second issue is a real issue. Halameid l'fnei chacham oimrim, yova davish akula l'mizbeach, you should use this to buy something which is kula l'mizbeach, my new, what is that, Ketiris? Tanya Kavosei de Rav, but we learned a brisa like Rav. Here the brisa says, Hanenim edmei chatosoi, somebody designated money for his karmen chattis, he was b'chuyv a karmen chattis, and he designated money for that karmen chattis, or he designated money for karmen asham, actually karmen chattasai, and then he realized that he was moil in that money, so he has to add a karen v'chaymish. So it's very simple. Yavi yoyis v'yavi chattasai, v'achaloi karmen ashamai, yosu v'yavi ashamai, which means as follows. He designated money for Karban Chattas, he designated money for Karban Oshim, and he used part of that money for personal use. So he has to give a Karen V'Chaimish. So he should add that to the money that he has for his Karban Chattas, and just buy a bigger animal for his Karban Chattas. Just buy a bigger animal for his Karban Oshim. But that's only if you're ready, if you have not yet bought your animal. Karv Chattas, but that's how you already brought the Karban Chattas. So what are you to do? Says Bryce, Yelch Yamamelech, that money should be disposed. That's by a chattis. For as we're going to learn, and as we have learned, a karban chattis that the money has been, that's already been brought, the meiser is yelchul yam melech. Leftover money should be put into the yam melech. Yelchul yam melech. Kva karv shamay, if the osham is already brought, so that din of a osham doesn't have the din of chattis ameises, yiplul and nova. There that money should be used to buy nidvas keitz mizbeach. Hanenim kotshi kotshim, lifnei zrikas damim. Says the Brisa further, if this kachi kachim, and somebody had a nor from that meat before the zrikas tamim, or he had a nor from muri kachi kalim l'acha zrikas tamim, so the aloch is mashenenu yiplu nedava. Whatever nor you had, that value should be used for nidvas keitz hamizbeach, kol kabonis hamizbeach, l'mizbeach, if you had a nor from a carbon that's supposed to be brought in the mizbeach, the money that you owe should be used for carbon that's brought on the Mizbeach. Kabonis kotchi bed kabayis. And if you had a no for kabonis, if you had a no from bed kabayis funds, the money should be used for bed kabayis. And if you had a no for kabonis tzibur, then the money should be used for kabonis that are nidvas tzibur.